going to talk about the living, resurrected Jesus. If you want to turn your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter chapter 1. And we'll begin with verse 3. Praise God, you want to stand for the reading of God's Word? Okay. Make sure you have a good understanding. Praise the Lord. First Peter 1 and 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Father, I pray that you'd bless the ministry of the Word of God this morning. God, you talk to the hearts of people as only you can do. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. The living resurrected Christ. In a world full of strife, threat of nuclear war, and government without the fear of God, hoping I never have to say that, but much of the nation much of the leadership of the nation doesn't have the fear of the Lord, the respect and the reverence of God in them. And so, yes, we desperately need God. The nation desperately needs God. You and I need God every time, all time, every day. But even though things may be in a turmoil around us, We must be able to look to a living, resurrected Christ, the King of glory. He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. We have a risen Savior, not a dead Jesus, but a risen Savior. Who isn't? He's not out of touch with us, as some try to mention that he is, that God just doesn't understand me today. He's out of touch with us. I want to tell you something. God that created us is very much in touch. He gives you your next breath, your next heartbeat. He knows what you are. He knows how you are. Our part is we need him. Praise God. But we don't serve a dead Jesus today. We don't leave him on that cross. He rose again the third day. He paid for our sins, yes, on the cross. But the third day he rose again, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. I want to tell you something. He's alive today. And I don't care what anybody says or any religion says. They can point to a dead tomb or a place where their leader was buried. But we can point to an empty tomb today because our Christ rose again, conquered death, had authority over death. Praise the Lord. Okay. The living resurrected Jesus. First in Scripture here we see that we've been born again and begotten into a living hope because of the resurrection. And people that are saved have been born again, birthed of the Holy Spirit, and they've been given a living hope because of the resurrection. Without the resurrection, there's not any hope. But because of the resurrection, we do have hope. Amen. And so, without the resurrection or without Christ doing this, you just get older and weaker and you finally die and you just become dead. That's the way I say it. No life. Not a nice way to say dead. Cease to exist. But because of the resurrection, it doesn't end in physical death. I've been with people in their dying hour. And people that knew God, some, a few that did not know God in the dying hour, people may be suffering. They may be Christians, good believers, so on fire for God. But yet, because of physical suffering and disease and infirmity, they have a hard time and praying, God, take me on. Graciously, he does. There's others who pass away in peace. It seems they just go to sleep and never wake up. That's the way we'd all like for it to be when we face death. And we're all going to face it. But yet God is in control. But because of the resurrection, we have wonderful hope Jesus conquered death on the cross. And Jesus died an awful, painful death on the cross. And he can make death bow to him now. It says in the Bible, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. Wouldn't it be miserable to think you just live, die, to die, and in the end, that's all there is to it? You just return to the dust, become fertilizer for the flowers. Bad way to put it, I guess. But anyway, in Christ, there is life after. Amen. There's more. And that's why we're gathered here. If there was no resurrection, there's no reason for you and I to gather today. If there's no eternal hope, we have no reason to come and to praise and to worship. But I want to tell you, we have a risen Savior, exalted Savior. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He deserves our worship, our praise, our glory, all we can give Him today, because He's made eternal life possible and promised eternal life to whosoever will believe. We serve a wonderful Savior. So we have a living hope because of the resurrection. No hope without a resurrection, no eternal life, no eternal love, no eternal peace, no eternal kindness, no encouraging word from anybody. I don't want to die without Jesus. Hell will have no comforts of any kind. You want to go to heaven when you die. But now Christ has risen from the dead, and death could not hold Him. Praise the Lord. In the book of 1 Corinthians 15, which is a resurrection chapter, it says, but now, that's right, it's the verse I just quoted you, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men the most to be pitied. It says, but now in Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruit of those who have fallen asleep. In the Old Testament, they had a waving of the sheaf of first fruits of harvest. They were agricultural people. And the waving of the sheaves symbolized that there was a great harvest to come. Okay? And those who died in Christ, amen, there's a wave sheaf. When Jesus resurrected from the dead, the bodies of many of those people were seen, or some of them were seen, arise from the dead, and they become the first fruits of those who slept. And that's symbolized by the waving of the sheaf, meaning that there was a harvest on the way. And that means you and I and everybody that live for Christ, there's coming a time when God will rapture His church up, and amen, and all everybody will be saved and be right with God, those that receive Christ as their Savior. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, you know, there's times that I like to get even with Adam. He sinned, and the whole human race inherited sinful nature. But I'm not going to do anything to him because God wouldn't let me. But in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. By one man's disobedience came death, but by one man's obedience came life. And that man that was Christ. Christ also be made alive. It's the Lord. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, and afterwards those who are Christ at his coming. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. And the last enemy to be destroyed is death. There will be a day when nobody else dies. Of course, that will be when people that are saved go to be with Jesus and live with Him, and there will be no death, sorrow, sickness, or crying, or pain in heaven. It'll be a perfect place. And you won't age there. You won't need a makeover. God's going to give you something that's better than a makeover. Amen. So, this is an act of God's mercy, back in our text. Indeed, verse 3, has begotten us through a living, to a living hope.
to the resurrection of Christ from the dead. Amen. Now Christ is risen. Death could not hold him. And in Scripture here, death is pictured as an enemy. And it is. Because death robs people. It robs spouses from their other spouse. Amen. It robs grown people, fathers from a daughter or son. It robs children of a father or mother. It is an enemy, death is. And Jesus came to conquer death, which he did. Amen. And yes, we all die physically. It's appointed that a man wants to die. You'll die physically. I don't care how spiritual you are, you'll die physically. But you don't have to be like Adam and Eve, who died spiritually because they disobeyed God and they were driven from life, the Garden of Eden, which was life. They were driven from the tree of life, from everything that would bring life because of their sin. And because we have a sin nature, we have eternity upon us without any answer unless Christ came and rose from the dead and conquered death. And he did conquer death. Amen. He said, I have been given the authority to lay down my life and authority to take it up again. And he did both. Praise God. So he's life. So death is an enemy. But an act of God's mercy, not a dying hope, but an eternal hope we have. You know, things are exciting when we get something new. After a while, the new wears off and it's just old. Man, I still have pieces of golf clubs that I used one time. Back in the other place where I was, El Dorado, Texas, it was the only thing, exciting thing in El Dorado was a golf course, 9-hole golf course. And you could join the thing for $100 a year, but it had the same 9 holes. You just had to make a little difference to make it an 18-hole course. But, you know, I didn't learn much, and I hadn't played since, hardly. Played once in Mineola. That's 30-something years ago. So, but things are exciting at first when they're new, and after a short time they grow old and are no longer valued as at the first. What you get for Christmas this year, or last year, you'll probably sell at a garage sale by the end of this year. Or you might. Because things age and grow old. But the resurrection hope of Christ is always new. My friend, when somebody's born again of God's Spirit, that's new. When people are saved and called out of darkness into their marvelous light, when God takes away habits and filthy things that people are addicted to and gives them life and hope and deliverance from things, that is God making all things new. That's the reason the Scripture says, therefore, if we be in Christ, old things are passed away and all things have become new. Amen. So Jesus suffered on the cross, took the punishment for our sins, amen, took the judgment for our sins away from us so we wouldn't be judged for our own sins, but he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, chastised for our peace, and with his stripes we're healed. Jesus did it all on the cross. Not only did he die on the cross, but he rose again on the third day. Amen. So we have resurrection hope, all things new. I don't know. You ever wonder how God puts up with all of us? Or you're just wondering how God puts up with some people. Not me, of course. You're some people. Couldn't be me. Or you. No. God is a merciful God. His mercy is everlasting. His truth endures forever. That's not God saying just go sin all you want to and get away with it. You're not going to get away with it. God misses nothing, but God is willing and gracious if we confess our sins to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Glad he is. And you know, we look at our world today, you know, wonder how God, what God's going to do to this place, this planet Earth when he comes. You know, eventually he's going to redo it completely. But right now, in Lamentations 3, 22 and 23, finally find some good news there. Lamentations is written as Jeremiah's sadness and sorrow and crying over Israel and Judah because they had gone into captivity because of their sins. But there's a word of hope there. It says, Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. It is the Lord's mercy that we're not consumed because God hates sin, but he loves you. He may not love everything about you. That's the reason he works to sanctify you and to put you, separate you from evil and devote you to good. Amen. That's what sanctification means. And so God is willing to do that. He's willing to work with me and work with you. I'm glad he is. He doesn't run out of patience like we do. I could go forever on things that have caused you to run out of patience. But God doesn't. And so God is greatly, he's faithful. But hope is given because we have a living Jesus, a risen Christ, a risen Savior. Jesus will never die. He conquered death, which is the last enemy. And in heaven, there is nothing but life. I read in my Bible, I can see that. In heaven, there's nothing but life. When we pass in this life, there won't be such a thing as death. But in heaven, there will be a book of life. And if you're saved, your name is written therein. And you've been given eternal life. And you belong there. And God has a place prepared for you. Amen. There's a book of life in heaven. There's a river in life, river of life for heaven, in heaven. Amen. That flows around the throne of God continually. There's a tree of life in heaven that man was restricted from in the Garden of Eden, but it'll be there. And it bears 12 manner of fruit each month. And there will be enough from everybody, for everybody. He is a risen, exalted Savior, an eternal Savior, and he's life. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He said, I've come to give back what the devil stole from you. He may have stole happiness and goodness from you. He may have stole a lot of things from your life. But when you get right and surrender your life to Jesus, God brings back the new. Amen. It's new again. You're saved. You're on your way to heaven. Amen. There's hope there. Glory to God. Not only have we been given a living hope, but we like this part. We've been given an inheritance. Verse 3 of our text, verse 4. To an inheritance incorruptible. So the resurrection of Christ made inheritance possible. To an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and does not fade away. Amen. Inheritance. People fight over inheritance. You know, Jose got more than I did. You know, Jose B, he wasn't as good as I was. I'm just making up names. I'm not making fun of you. But people fight over it. You know, he got more than I got in the inheritance, and they cheated me out of $5 that I should have got that he got. But there's not going to be any of that in heaven. We've been given an inheritance. Inherit heaven, inherit love, inherit all that God has. Amen. It's a wonderful thing. Story's told, I believe it's true. A man has a wealthy man. He owned all kinds of things. He owned gold mines and airlines. He had nothing. It was a question to him about money. He never worried about money. But he had a orphan. He had a small boy of his own, and he was very proud of his son, and he wouldn't let nothing happen to him, and he hired a maid to take care of the boy, and said, give him anything he wants, go to the store, buy him any toy he wants, take him any place he wants, take him to the zoo, take him to this, that, and the other, spare nothing, the money's there, there is no expense that's too much, just take care of my son. And she did, and over time she, of course, learned to love that boy. But in the time, it came that the man, rich man became sick, and he eventually died. And search was made through all the stuff that he had and he owned to find if there was a will made out to anybody. They searched through everything. There was no will in a locked box, still locked, but there wasn't anything in it with a will. He had no will. And so a court-appointed attorney allowed some people of his friends and family to come by and take expensive pieces of furniture and things that he owned in his house. And so, after a while, after almost all people were left, the maid that took care of the boy was asked, said, what do you want? there was a picture of the boy hanging on the wall. So she said, I want the picture of that boy. And so the court attorney took it down and gave it to her. Here it is. But something fell out of the back of the picture. It was a will. And the will said one thing. Whoever loves my son is heir to all that I own. And so she was the recipient of that inheritance. And you and I are heir to everything that God owns in heaven and earth. He's not going to take it away and just give it to you to handle however you want to, but God gives us an eternal inheritance that we can be with Him forever and that we can live with Him forever and have eternal life. That's an inheritance this world will never equal, regardless of how many things people have to give away or to give to their children or the people after them. God has so much more. And so we've been gotten again into a living hope. Amen. An inheritance. 1 Peter 1 and 3 says, which is therefore is not dead, but a living hope.
Being begotten again as a son, he is an heir as earthly fathers beget children who shall inherit their goods. The inheritance is salvation. 1 Peter 1 and 9, the grace to be brought at the revelation of Christ, the coming of the Lord. And it says that we shall receive a crown of glory that does not fade away. And this inheritance is incorruptible. Almost everything in this world is corruptible. Things fade away. New cars are not new forever. New toys, new things. The difference between men and boys is the price of their toys. Heard all the ladies say amen. And things fade away. Things get old. Pictures get old. But God doesn't get old. You ever think about it? God has never aged, ever. It's almost impossible for us to imagine never being a beginning of something and never being an end. But God is eternal. He never began. He's never going to begin. He's never going to end. Good news is, if He gives us eternal life, we will never end. We will be in His presence. Thank God we won't be sin of a sin nature. Thank God there won't be any sin in heaven, and there won't be nobody fussing or fighting over anything in heaven, because it's our inheritance. We'll live with Him forever. Praise the Lord. You can't afford to miss that. Incorruptible. The outward splendor of loveliness of earthly things dooms them soon to rottenness and decay. Undefiled. Not stained as earthly goods by sin. Everything in this world is stained by sin. Everything will go up in smoke one day. Amen. And it tells us in the book of 1 Peter, 2 Peter, I believe it is, it tells us that one day all that is in the earth will be burned up and the element will melt with fervent heat and all the things that are written therein should be burned up. Because every sinful thing this world and sinful nature has produced will be just go up in fire. It won't be worth anything, but God will create a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, and won't be anything wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with the first heaven and earth that He made. It's because man sinned and it became sinful. Okay? So God has a greater plan. So we've been given an inheritance that's incorruptible. It says here that it doesn't fade away. You know, flowers fade, clothes wear out, cars wear out, people wear out, and the body ages. I know you don't need me to remind you of that if you're a certain age. I'm not getting any younger, I found out. Not anybody in here is getting younger. You're a day older every day. And that's wasn't great wisdom, it's just reality. Body wears out after time. The glories of heaven never wear out. People get old. It came when their knees don't work as good as they used to. Their hands don't work as good as they used to. Their hair, if they've got any, doesn't work as good as it used to. Somebody told me there'll be only bald-headed people in heaven because there'll be no parting there. I don't find any scripture on that. But things wear out. But I don't care. In heaven, you'll never wear out. Amen. And heaven's glories will never wear out. And nothing in heaven, and including you and I in heaven, there will be no aging there. Amen. There will be no sick beds there. There will be no cancer hospitals or no heart hospitals there, because the former things have passed away. And they'll never be the way it was. Praise God. We won't want to go back to this. We'll be glad that God's got it made for us, and He does have it made. You say, well, that's in the future, Pastor. What about right now? I want to think you can rejoice right now, because God has given you a living hope that will not fade away. He's given you eternal inheritance. Amen. When we pass from this life, we just step into His eternity. And the Bible says He's prepared a place for us where moth and rust don't corrupt, where thieves don't break through and steal. Praise God. Heaven will be wonderful. And God has given us His Holy Spirit now so we can live a victorious, overcoming life. You don't have to be a sad sack and sorrowful and crying all the time. You don't have to read the book of Lamentations all the time and say it's you. But God has given you a reason to live, a reason to smile, a reason to be happy. Okay, it doesn't fade away. Fade is not a word. It's reserved in heaven for you. The inheritance that God has promised us is in security. It's beyond risk. And the inheritance that you have is out of the reach of Satan. It is reserved for us. In the book of Matthew, chapter 6, verse 19, in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, He says there, do not lay up yourselves treasure on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. I know we have lock boxes, and there's nothing wrong with that. He's not saying don't be careful and don't use your brain. God did give you a brain. He expects us to use it. That would preach. But lay up yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy us, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. He's not saying try to save up all the silver and gold and say, God, take this with you. Because in heaven, there won't be any need for you to carry anything from this life with you except your relationship with Jesus. Amen. That's the one thing that you'll take with you. You'll be born again. You'll rise to meet the Lord in there. You'll leave everything behind. Amen. I don't care the people that have left millions of dollars behind. When they left this world, they left it all behind. But friend, we don't have to leave this world without Jesus. Praise God. And God will not leave us behind. He'll go with us even to the end of the age. Matter of fact, Jesus conquered death. I might as well say it right here. The Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. My friend, that's a wonderful hope that God has given us. Amen. We're just waiting for a trumpet sound. Amen. It could be any day. It could be today. It could be tomorrow. Be ready at all times. Be ready to meet God. Don't try to predict the day or the hour when Jesus is coming. Nobody ever has. But I want to be ready if He comes today. Just live like He's coming today, because He may. It's the Lord. It says here that, last of all, we are kept by the power of God. Back in our text there in 1 Peter. It's reserved in heaven for you. Verse 5, 1 Peter 1:5, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In the Greek, it means something to be guarded. And he answers the objection of what use is that, is it that salvation is reserved for us in heaven, as in a calm, secure haven, when we're tossed in a whirl as troubled, on a troubled sea in the midst of a thousand wrecks. Yes, there's nothing good that can come out of sinful humanity, but all the good came out of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's good all the time, forever. Amen. And so Jesus came here to destroy the enemy, which is death. You know, the enemy of death, it robs people of hope, it robs people of joy and peace, and forcing one to build a life without that trusted friend or loved one near you. And we don't have to look very far, only to listen to the news to find that our world is a wreck.
Man.
And there are things going on that we can't change. I'm not saying there's no hope for anything. I believe God can. I think you ought to pray and vote the best, closest you can get to the Bible for whoever's running for office. And I'm not here to promote anybody for office. I can't do that. Don't want to do that. But I believe that God can give you the wisdom to cast your vote and take the freedom that we have here in our nation and do vote. God told us that. God wants us to. God give us a choice. So praise the Lord. And I don't know, and I'm not going to go into politics for any reason whatsoever. It's not my place, but it's your place to seek God and say, God, help me to do and make the decisions you want me to make. You know, people get torn up and torn apart by decisions they make. Amen. God didn't invent a drunk. People become a drunk because they make the choice to drink. People didn't become addicted to all kinds of drugs and stuff because God made them addicted. They get there because they made a choice to do that.
Amen.
And lazy people become lazy and don't have any money because they didn't make the choice to work for a living. Amen. Got one amen there. But God give us the power. We are free moral agents to make choices. And God gave us the authority to make a choice between life and death, between living with Him forever or just to die without Christ. You don't want to do that. Death is an enemy, and we are guarded by God.
Matter of fact.
And death came as an enemy to Adam. Death came by his act of disobedience to God's word, and death came uninvited into the human race. It passed upon the whole human race, physical death, spiritual death, or separation from God. There is a thief out there, the devil, that robs people of hope and joy and peace and forcing one to build a life without a trusted friend or family member. It's hard sometimes. Life isn't easy. And just because you got saved, got right with God, doesn't mean that life is easy and you'll never have any more problems. My friend, you'll have the same problems. You just have God to help you instead of trying to do it alone. There's things that I face in this world I wouldn't want to be alone in. I wouldn't want to suffer the grief and the sorrow of losing both of my parents to death. But I want to tell you, God was never absent. He'll never be absent. The Bible says that on the cross, surely Jesus has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, so you don't have to carry Him alone. Amen. He's there to help us. He's there to lift you up. He's there to strengthen you, to keep you, guide you. Amen. The Holy Spirit is there. If you look at the Holy Spirit, it means one called alongside to help. We do need His help. Praise the Lord. People dread that have a son or daughter or spouse in the military service. They dread to see two men coming to the door, military people in uniform, to tell them, we're sorry to say, but your loved one has been killed in battle. That's difficult. To tell them that their loved one has perished in conflict. One of the hardest things I ever did as a pastor is a father was killed in a motorcycle accident, and he had a daughter that was 5 years old. And mom or grandma wouldn't tell her. They said, Pastor, you've got to tell her their daddy's not coming home anymore. One of the hardest things I ever did to try to explain to a five-year-old how her daddy would never be there again. But God helped me. And she's a beautiful young woman today, not a kid anymore. But yet, there are things that happen that we wish just wouldn't happen. Death has no favorites, young or old, rich or poor, famous or unknown. And death has no pity for the young, no mercy for the old, no preference for the beautiful, the talented, or for the social standing of the politician, the rich, or the poverty-stricken. He is the enemy of all. But my friend, you don't have to live this life nor enter eternity afraid or scared. Christ is your Savior. He gives you the certainty and assurance in your heart that He's got this taken care of. Amen. And God has given me that. God has given you that. God has no personal preference, no personal favoritism. He gives to all that will come to Him He didn't like somebody a little better than he likes the other one. Aren't you glad God doesn't show any personal favoritism? Because I probably wouldn't be his favorite. We might all say that. I don't know. But we know that God cares for everybody equally the same. He loves you. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Nobody, God does not want anybody to face a devil's hell for eternity. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance and receive his Son, who's able to give them life worth living here and eternal life forever. Amen.